Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Well, I really enjoyed the worship. I hope you all got as much out of that as I did. That just, I tell you, some of those songs and the lyrics just send chills down your spine. I enjoyed Rise Again today. I enjoyed all of them, but such good worship. Thank you all to the worship team. You're not just playing for this church. You're playing for God in heaven, so that's amazing. And we're all on the worship team, right? Amen. How could you not be on the worship team? No, I'm not. I'm not a worshiper. Yes. So I've been talking to Pam about what's coming up, and she's telling me that she's got she's excited about the Monday classes she's teaching. She's doing Luke tomorrow night, and then she's going to have a special session on what's God's talking to her about offense, and not having offense. I would think that would be what she was probably against, being offended. Just a guess. But so that's exciting to see things moving in the kingdom of God, and I really like what we've chosen for today, which is choice, to talk about the choices that we get to make. And my thing about choice is, if you are alive, you can choose God. You know, no matter how bad it gets, the fact that you're breathing, the name of Jesus can be on your lips.
It's not too late if you're breathing to make the right choice, to make the right decision. That's such wonderful news. And actually, it's so strange. The message is a little bit on offense, but it actually is about sitting on a fence. And I'm going to be talking to you about a guy who sat in a window that you may not hardly have read about in the Bible. Tony's shaking his head. He knows already. It's Eutychus. And what happens when you sit in a window and allow yourself to sleep, to be the sleeping church? You eventually fall. So today is Choose You This Day, and we've shared this before, but this is a message that I don't think we can talk about enough. I really don't. It's so powerful because God has given us all freedom of choice, and we don't realize how valuable and how good and wonderful that is. What a God. I have to say, what a wonderful God. Do you know he could demand that we worship him? He could demand it. He could make it hard not to. But he's never demanded anything of us. He has been so kind to making the choice so easy for us by giving his son. But I want to say make a couple statements today so we can really get into this. First of all, your life today is a sum of the choices that you have already made throughout the years. Your life today is a sum of the choices that you have made. God has given us that free will. We are not robots. We are not robots. We are created imago Dei, which is in the image of God, to have a relationship with God. He's a good God. He's worthy of that. But here's the thing. He has not withheld any information or revelation from us that would help us to make the perfect right choice to serve him. So God has given you everything you need to know, information and revelation by the Holy Spirit to make the right choice. You know you should make the right choices. The choices we should make are not choices that will bless us necessarily, but that will bless the Lord and therefore bless other people. Or we can make the decision to make choices that literally quench the Holy Spirit, break the heart of God, and hurt many people, primarily ourselves. And the choices you make in life, whether you want to believe this or not, affect many, many people. I mean hundreds and thousands of people. That's hard to wrap your head around, but I'm telling you, I've done my homework. It's the truth. Our choices affect hundreds and thousands of people, more than you can ever count, more than you will ever know. People that you have never met and never will meet are going to be affected, I promise you, by the choices that you're making today and the life choices you make. People that are not yet born today, your children, your grandchildren, generations of people, I'm going to take it a step further. Your choices will affect history. How history is played out, your decisions and your choices. Are the decisions I make really important? Yes. Every single small or great decision, that's a small decision. No, it's not, because it adds up over time. One wrong word can ruin your life to a person. One wrong turn can cause you to have a car accident. One wrong relationship and you're in the grave, right? It happens all the time. Read it on the news. Pull it up on YouTube. I dated the wrong person. I'm not here. The girl who wrote the book that said, "If I Am Missing or Dead," her sister knew that she was in a relationship with the wrong person, so much so that she wrote a note and put it in a drawer. "If I am ever found, if I am missing or dead," he did it. She knew it, but she continued day after day to make the choice to stay. And that's us in the world, by the way. Are we making the daily choice to stay in the world day after day? Now, before I hand this to Ken, and I eventually will, I promise, we cannot present a message on choice without reading from Joshua 24. So I'm going to read it to you, but I'm going to tell you something you don't know about it when we're done, okay? Joshua 24:14. "Now therefore," this is Joshua, no surprise there, "fear, honor the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness," not just casually when you want to. "Put away the gods that your fathers were not gods in the first place. Serve beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, and it seems evil, not like a good idea to you, then you get to choose whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I started meditating at some point this week, and I just started over and over, "Serve the Lord, serve the Lord, serve the Lord. What do I do to serve the Lord?" And it was so much so on my heart that I went back to my study and I started pulling up the Hebrew. Now, let me read this again one more time in a different way. "Fear and honor the Lord and worship him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods your fathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and worship the Lord. And if it seems evil to worship the Lord, then you can choose to worship the gods your fathers worshipped beyond the river. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord." I had no clue until I started studying, and I've studied for years, this week, that the word Hebrew avad doesn't mean just serve. It means to worship. It means more worship than it does serve. This is actually a little bit off, because to worship will lead you to serve. That's correct. But this means you put away the gods your fathers worship. You know, not they just did things. They worshiped, they honored. And there's a difference between praise and worship. Praise is something you do. You talk about God. "I praise you for your goodness." Worship is an intimate relationship with God, something you and you alone can do. We can praise together. We can worship, but we're worshiping individually. So it gave me a new revelation of that. I want to choose to worship the Lord, because it makes a difference. If I worship God or not, it's going to make a difference in your life and how you view God.
So there's a difference between serving God and worshiping God, because you could serve God without worshiping God.
Right.
And remember Jesus and Mary and Martha, and Mary was choosing the part to just worship Jesus, but there was all kinds of chores that had to be done. And Martha was concerned that the service wasn't happening. And we can go through the motions of serving God, but ultimately our desire has to be to choose the best part, which is to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn. When we're talking about choices we make, very often we fall into traps. And Pam was talking about those traps. Someone, maybe they're just dating a very abusive person. It's amazing how the devil can put you in a trap that's not a trap at all, that can tell you that you're trapped. You're trapped in this addiction. You're trapped in this relationship. You're trapped with the decisions that you made. That's not usually true. Usually it's an illusion of a trap. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many testimonies have there been of people that have been supernaturally delivered of alcoholism. Because, see, it looks like it was a trap that they would never get out of. But the ones I've seen didn't go through a 20-year weaning off of it. They went through a Holy Spirit transformation where they said, I'm going to throw this away because I knew it was harming them. But that's a tough. So on one hand, that's easy to do. You take something, you throw it away. You go, Pastor, I can't pour this down the sink. Yes, you can. Gravity will do it. You know, take the lid off, pour it down the sink. It's really not hard. But you see the mental blocks. And that would be true of any trap of the enemy. A trap of pornography, a trap of sexual addiction, a trap of stealing things. People can find themselves saying, "This, I know this isn't who I'm supposed to be, but I've got this dark area of my life where I do this thing that I'm ashamed of." Brother Gil used to always tell the story of a bear that was in a cage that grew up and lived his whole life in this cage that was 7 or 8 feet long. And he said the bear would just go left to right. You know, he would like walk the cage, but it was only, he could just go 7 feet one way, then turn around, go 7 feet the other way. And they finally rescued this bear. They live, you know, he's going to be in this sanctuary, you know, where he can just roam around. So they get him out of the cage, and the bear goes 7 feet one way. He turns around, he goes 7 feet the other way. The cage wasn't there, but through a lifetime of knowing that he was trapped, he was still living in a trap that really wasn't there. I heard once that when Houdini was always doing his tricks, that he can get out of any lock, and so they put him in a jail cell, and the jailers said, well, of course he's going to get out of this. He's going to be able to pick the lock. So what they did is they left the jail cell open. He assumed it was locked, and he couldn't pick the lock because there was no lock to pick. So the only thing that held Houdini was the lock that wasn't there. Isn't that interesting? When I have articles, I have a book called 50 Years of Flying, and this book was probably 40 years ago. And it was all these different flying articles by the best physicists and scientists. And the title of the article is, Why It Is Impossible to Exceed the Speed of Sound in an Airplane. This was before the speed of sound had ever been broken. But this person who was a doctor wrote scientific evidence that the plane would melt at those speeds. He said, even if we had an engine that could do it, the plane would melt scientifically. Obviously, he was wrong. But when Chuck Yeager finally broke, and that was the thing. When they broke the sound barrier, they couldn't find pilots to do it because this doctor said the plane will melt, and everyone else said the plane will explode, and the planes they tried to do it in weren't ready, and they were exploding, and people were dying. So you couldn't just get a pilot like Yeager to say, go break the sound barrier. They were terrified. But he reported when he broke the sound barrier, he said it was like poking your finger through jelly. In other words, it was a barrier that people thought was there that just wasn't there. So I want to say this about, I said all that, all those illustrations, to say if you feel trapped in a choice, I promise you the trap is a lie. It is a jail cell made out of paper that you can break out through the power of the Holy Spirit. It may not be easy to throw something away that has addicted you, but I believe and I know, and you do too, that the power of the blood is greater than any power of the enemy. Choose you this day. I also want to say this about your past today. Sometimes when you hear messages about choice, basically you end up feeling this way. Well, I screwed up my own life, so I've got to deal with it. That's not the right message. It's not the message of the cross. I want you to know something. If you're feeling guilty about your past, and psychiatrists say that is the number one driving force of human behavior, is guilt. If you're feeling guilty about your past, boy, do I got good news for you. As far as the east is from the west, he didn't say as far as the north is from the south. You keep going north, you'll hit the South Pole, and you'll come right back. But if you go east, right, you're never gonna. There is no East Pole. You can go east forever. You can't go north forever. As big as the universe is, he's removed your sins from. If God has, and I was thinking about that yesterday. What does it mean that my sins are forgiven? And do I even understand what that means? Because the guilt that drives us, you have to understand that God has given you the ability to choose. And if you have made bad choices, I would even say this as a prophecy to you, that things that you thought were long dead and would never come alive again, that God can bring those things back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Things that the devil said to you, you know, it's, I'm too old, it's too late, I've missed my opportunity, I can no longer do that, that God can breathe life into your bones. He can breathe youth back into you to renew your strength, that you'll be doing things and you'll say, I never would have thought that I would be able to do this thing again. The message on choices, Pam, is never condemning. It is always such good news that if you feel bound, God can turn it around immediately. And I tell you, in the book of Deuteronomy, especially when you get over those 28th chapter, when it's talking about the blessings and the curses are real, right? When we're not serving God, the consequences are very real. But I tell you, no matter where you are or how you are bound, the moment that you let God turn it around and that you turn your heart around and you say, I'm going to let God work in my heart. I give God permission to clean this out. And I'm going to, with the second that you do that, blessing begins to flow in your life. Did you know that? I don't care how much curse you're under right now. If you're in a jail cell in solitary confinement, if you turn your face to the wall and turn to God, blessings will start flowing from that very moment.
It is absolutely 100% truth. I would submit to you that in Joshua 24, there is one single word in there that jumps out at me that is the power word. So many times I just look for power words. What is this word that means something to you and I today? What he just was talking about, you can turn it around. It is the single word Joshua said, choose you when? Today. Today is the power word here. I, no matter what has happened yesterday, I can choose today again, because that is what Joshua is telling us. Why didn't he just say choose? He didn't say that. He added the word, and every word in the word is specific and important. He added the word choose today. Now, he recognized that they had chosen some other things way back in Egypt. They used to make other choices, but he's saying, but not today. Not today. Today is your day. You can choose. And we have to zero in on that, because we've all made choices that we regret in life. Don't tell me I don't have any regrets. Yes, you do, or you should, because we've made some wrong choices, but that's not today. Today begins a new day, and that's what a blessing is all about, because sometimes we can get down about that. And I want to tell you something. This message could have been, I think, a lot, and we've talked about in the past few weeks, about King Saul and how he lost the kingdom. He had the same anointing as David. He had the same position as David. He had everything and that he needed to make a right choice, but he made the wrong choices. He made a wrong choice in disobedience to God. When we disobey God, it's actually rebellion. I just want to get that out there. It's not just people, oh, you just disobeyed a little bit. Ate the cookie when you shouldn't have. No, it's rebellion against a holy God when we disobey. And so he was rebellious to God. But I want to submit something to you that people don't think about. Do you know that Saul could have took this one and today that choose you today, he could have said, I made a wrong decision. And even though God is now removing me from my position and he's removing me from the kingdom, you know what I'll do? I'll serve God. I'll repent now. God, I'm sorry that I made that wrong choice. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to serve King David, and I'm going to be a servant of yours again, God, in another way, in a new way. And that's so important for us to know, that even if we lost some things along the way, that God still has another plan. He still has a purpose for our life that he created us for. And, you know, again, I know we've said this 100 times. I'm going to say it again. You can choose to shoot someone. You can choose the behavior, but you will never get to choose the consequence. The same thing is when I do good. I don't get to choose the reward. God will reward me accordingly. But if I pull the trigger, someone else is going to choose the consequence for me. Likely a jury of 12 people of my peers will choose the consequence together with God. But I don't get to choose that. I don't get to just say, I'm sorry. But even then, I can choose today to say, I did make a bad choice. I did pull the trigger. I will accept what's going to happen, but I'm going to choose God again. I can choose God from this prison cell. We get to make choices every day. And I think that King David's thing about, you know, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, in Psalm 51, because he's seen about the terrible choice that Saul made and how bad it was and how awful it is. And, you know, I want to say it like this. You know, I can bless me. Just like I can bless you, I can bless me. The Bible says I can choose to be blessed. If my life is a living hell, likely I hand-designed that living hell. I made the rooms. I designed it. I made the prison that I'm in. I dug the pit that I fell in myself by my own choices day to day. You know, I had someone ask me one day why it is that I am very blessed. I am very blessed. And I, you know, hey, say what you want about God's people shouldn't be blessed, but I'm blessed. But it wasn't always that way. I used to not seem to never could save financially. I could never get ahead, never get ahead. And you know what? But God said, if you'll obey me, I'll put you ahead. I will put you ahead. And so I told this person, I said, there's a couple reasons you're not ahead. And here's the two reasons that I tell people when they can't get financially ahead. For number one, you have not held yourself accountable to tithe. I mean to tithe like the word says tithe. Every tenth, everything that comes in your household, tithe. The second thing that you have not done is you have not made decisions planning for your future. You've not made choices for your future. What you've done is live day to day. I want to do this. I want to go here. I want to go out to eat. I want to do this. You have not made decisions. My dad said this, and this was some of the best advice he's ever given me. He said, I want you to make every decision you make, every choice I make, planning for 20 years in the future. Forget about today that you ain't got this and you can't do that and you're being deprived and you can't go to the party. And he said, plan for 20 years in the future. Since he died, God put something else on my heart. I want you to plan for 20 million years in the future, because it's not even about 20 years in the future. It's about eternity. And so every decision I make in my life, I'm looking 20 years ahead. I'm looking, I mean, me and Sandra will be talking and she'll be like, well, why don't we do this? And why don't we take money and do that? We're planning 20 years in the future. I'm planning for you, Sandra, for when I leave here, when we're no longer here, okay? And so we need to understand that if we would make every single decision, like my dad said, every choice we make saying, God, how's this going to affect me and my loved ones here on earth a year, 2 years, 20 years in the future? Will they have lack? Will they have blessing? God, how's this going to affect me and my family eternally? Will I lead them away from eternity if I make this wrong decision? I cannot help but go back to the story, Ken, about the girl, and it's been in the news recently. Some of you seen that there was a bride and her husband who was on a go-kart. You seen the news in Florida, and they were leaving their wedding reception. It was literally like 3 hours within the moment they said, I do. She was in her bridal gown on the go-kart, and a drunk 20-something-year-old named Jamie plowed through there and killed that girl, killed her. And this girl had never committed crimes or anything in her life. She just got drunk. She made a choice to drink and drive. And let me tell you, that has affected everyone's life. That family, they lost the mother who had just taken pictures with her daughter. Forget it. It was over as of that minute. But guess whose life it affected the most? The one who made the wrong choice. She is literally, her dad basically, you know what her dad told her? He had no words to say to her. He said, you're going to have to just suck it up. And that is heartbreaking. What I would say to her is, Jamie, there's a better way. Let's choose Jesus. Even now, in this, let's choose Jesus. So we need to be like Daniel, Ken, and not wait to make the decision. And that's why Joshua said today, right? Because Daniel was in, he made that decision in advance. I won't defile myself. He also made, it was just so powerful. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be a man of prayer. And because he prayed,
God saved his life. It's a great decision, right? I hope. Right?
Prayer changes things, that's for sure. So when I joined the military, I had a month before I actually had to go in. I was in, but I wasn't in. I wasn't wearing military clothes. I wasn't doing military things. I was just waiting to go in. You could be a Christian for years, and maybe you haven't taken your place yet, but there's a uniform to put on. You know what I mean? So I'm saying the reason it says today, Pam, today, choose today, is because what you chose yesterday, you don't have to choose today. I wanted to talk about blessings for just a second, just to say, you know, the Bible says, buy gold from me. In other words, store up your treasure in heaven. You know, the Bible didn't say, get a 401k. That's wisdom to have a 401k. The Bible didn't say, you know, make good investment decisions. That's not in the natural realm. It's when the Bible talks about investment, when the Bible talks about gold and silver, it's talking about kingdom gold and silver. The streets are made out of gold, right? The reason I'm saying that is that absolutely don't judge your life with God and your spirituality with whether you have a lot of money or don't have a lot of money. I promise you that is not an indicator. God is never going to be looking at that. If that was the case, then some of the most evil men in the world are some of the most... Having money in the bank is nice, but it can also be there at the cost of how did you get it there.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? There's got to be times in your life where Satan comes to you and says, here's $1 million if you'll do this. And then you got to decide who you really are, what you turn down, and who you're going to be. I think of this way. A life that is self-examined is vital. It is vital that I examine my own life and my own heart. I can't wait for someone else to examine me. I might not receive it anyway. I might get angry. If someone told me I was selfish, I might just say, so are you. Go away. But if I examine my own heart and I find selfishness in it, what am I going to? If I look in the mirror, in other words, right? If I look in the mirror and I see the dirt on my face, I can't deny it, who I am. The question is, what do I want to do about that? Here's the thing. God made you to be a certain person. You. Right? There's only one Maribel. And God made Maribel to be a certain way, to have a certain spirit about her, to have a certain faith about her. And if you could look at the designs for Maribel, and I could choose anyone, I'm not just picking on Maribel. But if we could look at the plans that how God designed her, we would go, wow, is she blessed? God designed her with all this faith and all this love and all just a main. And the person God designed, let me tell you about the person God designed you to be. If you could look at the blueprint and go, I didn't know that was a part of who I am. God designed you to be exceedingly kind and patient. And I mean, that's a simple thing, right? But do you always live that out? Are you compassionate wherever you go? Are you kind? You might go, no, I'm short with people, but that's who I am. No, it's not. No, it's not. You have got to ask God who he's designed you to be. And here's a self-examined life is saying, when I see things in me that don't belong, I want to be the person. I want to be the person God made me to be. And I know he made me to be gentle. I know he made me to be kind. I know that I'm not supposed to be snapping at people. Even when the world says it's justified to snap at people. You might have every right to yell and scream at somebody, but you know that was a choice that you made instead of kindness and understanding. And by picking a fight with someone, even when you're in the wrong and when you're in the right, it doesn't matter. You've just ruined their day and your day. To have that wisdom, so here's where it boils down to. So we're living a self-examined life. The Bible says he is the potter and we're the clay, right? I like that song too. Talks about shape me, mold me. Once you mold something, like I made an ashtray out of clay, back in 1972. What else are you going to make? I mean, I don't know how to make anything. You know, I'm going to make an ashtray. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that ashtray gets hard, and you're like, well, I'm an ashtray. You know, this is who I am. I am a container that holds the ashes of life. Until you decide, I want God to change me. I don't want to hold ashes. What if instead I could make this into a cup or a cup holder? And instead of holding ashes, I could hold living water. But in order for God to mold your heart, you have to be soft towards God. You have to say, God, change this in me. Change this thing that doesn't belong in me. To really examine yourself so that God doesn't ever have to examine you. To see if there's so much selfishness in myself or if there's a lack of love. And we probably won't have time, but I just read 1 Corinthians 13 again this morning. You know, we just should read that once a week. Because, you know, it doesn't describe who Christians are. It describes who you are. When it says love is kind, you put your name in there. Ken is kind. See, you personalize that. But if we had time, I would read through 1 Corinthians 13. But we need to remind ourselves who we actually are. Not the person Satan tells you you are, but the person God who tells you who you are. And then to conform, to not be conformed to this world, but instead to be transformed by the renewing of the Word of God, which changes our heart and our mind. It changes who we are, to change you from an old dirty ashtray into a cup holder that holds living water.
I love that Joshua said that we can choose blessing. And Abraham said, I am blessed to be a blessing. And I think that's what it all boils down to. I've asked God, I choose blessings. I want to be blessed because I want that to flow through my life. I want to be able to give. I want to be able to help other people. And it even goes beyond that. You know, think about how easy God's made us, has made our choices. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Hide God's word in your heart. That's a choice, and you won't be trapped by sin. Get wisdom. It's a principal thing. Don't be foolish. Seek ye the kingdom of God. Don't build your own kingdom. Give a tenth of your household. Ain't hard to figure out what a tenth is. Love your neighbor. Don't blow up his car or take his wife. Choose to be a blessing. You know, I want to do this for my children and my grandchildren. I really do. I want to be blessed so that they can be blessed, like I said. I'll share with you this little experience we had this week. Grace and Sandra and I go to a particular restaurant, and we have gotten to know the people there very, very well. I mean, they're, as Grace said, that waitress, like, she's like family to us, Maria. And so we're sitting at the restaurant, and she comes, the waitress, to us, and she starts telling us that she's going to be off with knee surgery and that she's having this knee surgery, and she's just, you know, she told him, I can't be off 6 weeks. I have to work. I just have to work. And she's telling us this and walking away. And I waited a few minutes, and I decided to test Grace. I decided I'm going to give Grace a test. I said to Grace, everything I have is basically yours, you know, my kids. And I said, should we bless her? Should we help her? And I said, should we, Grace? I wanted to see what she would say. She goes, yes. Immediately, without hesitation, she said, let's bless her. I gave her my credit card, and I said, go, Grace, go. The woman just wound up sobbing, crying. Just sobbing, crying. And it was a powerful lesson to Grace. I said, Grace, whenever you can, whenever the Holy Spirit for 1 second tells you to do something, do not hesitate. Just do it. Grace is a tither, and she's a giver. That means she's a giver. And immediately she said, I'm going to give. Let's give. Let's help. We want the blessings of the Lord. I don't want to be rich. Who knows what that might do to any of us? I don't want to think of, now, what could we get, Ken? Let's put our money together. What are you thinking about the big boat?
Speedboat,
yes. And do you know how much fun you and I could have on that together? I mean, we love the jet skis. We could have a blast. You know something else we could do?
We could paint a cross on it and say, dedicated to God.
Oh, yes. And then we could, have you ever thought about just staying in Cancun for a couple months, all of us and our families, you know, just having a great time, just because we can? That is not fulfilling, people. You think it is, you're thinking wrong. It's not. Let me tell you what's fulfilling. Blessing people in every way. And I don't mean just that. I mean with our time. You know, there's things like, I don't want to go. You know what? I visit people at hospitals. I visit people in homes. The thought will cross your mind. Oh, it will. Like, I'm going to be sitting up there for hours. But that's what love does. Let me tell you, it's not hard when it's our mother. Let me tell you, we were literally, Ken and I, just up there. I mean, tired as we could. It didn't matter because love says sacrifice. Make a choice to sacrifice. Make a choice to say, it's not about me. It's about you, God. You gave your son. I can give anything. Take it all away, God. I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to give my heart to you, my time to you. I want to make decisions. And you know what? You may say, well, you're making some good decisions, Pastor Pam. No, I want to make better decisions. I want to hear more from the Holy Spirit. I want to make choices every second that honor God. What I say, if I write someone a card, send some flowers. And by the way, Pastor Ken, was it not amazing? You guys were, the gifts you gave us were so generous. I mean, we were so, so blessed by just by your love. Just showing to be, and that's what we need to do for each other, tell each other, I love all of you guys, every single one, from the youngest to the oldest.
Yeah, my prayer is that every single person would know that they haven't been forgotten by God. Not only have they not been forgotten by God, but God looks on you and smiles. He created you as a masterpiece, and you're not forgotten by God. You are important in the kingdom of God. You're important to the kingdom of God. You know, you were talking about Daniel, Pam. The thing about Daniel that I want us to remember is just how set apart he was, how different he was. What makes Daniel stand out is that he was different from everyone else. In his love for God, he was set apart, and so are you. We need to take that example. He prayed every day. What he was doing isn't going through the motions of religious exercise of praying. It's something we should be jealous of. He was talking to God every single day. And that's how we should live also. He was set apart. Do you know in the Bible, when it's talking about the temple and all the furnishings and stuff, it goes in, there's a part talking about the horses, and they had a gold medallion, and the gold medallion said, set apart to God. Folks, if the horses are set apart to God, how much more should we be set apart for God? In this church, do you know that everything that you see, other than human beings, is non-living things that have been dedicated to God? Those drums, all they play is worship. These guitars, that's all they play. That piano, that's all it plays is worship. This microphone, all it is preaching and teaching of every single thing in this church. The speakers, the chairs, everything is dedicated to worshiping God. And if non-living things can have as their sole purpose to worship God, how much more should you and I as living beings, so the rocks don't have to cry out in our place. I'm going to kind of wrap up what I have here. I don't know if it was true or not, but I remember being in seventh grade and they were talking about someone named Johnny Appleseed. Everyone heard that story. It's probably not true, but whether it's true or not, the story was this guy went around planting apple seeds. I think he was selling them. I think he was trying to make a living doing that. But anyway, when you plant, the reason that that's kind of believable is someone that plants seeds, it's not that hard to believe that lots of apple trees. When you go around planting seeds, things come up. And by the way, seed to ratio, I mean, you carry one seed, you're carrying a 2,000-pound apple tree, right? It's just a tiny, tiny seed. Actually, if you carry an apple seed, you're actually carrying an apple orchard in your pocket, right? One seed is actually could represent a million trees. How much more the kingdom of God that we spread around? And you are spreading things around wherever you go. You know, it's important that your coworkers When you get a new job, by the way, the first thing you need to do is subtly let them know you're a Christian. That is if you're going to be a good witness. If you're going to be a bad witness, don't let them know. My roommate used to say, you got to take that Jesus Saves sticker off your car. I go, what do you mean? It's a great witness. He goes, not the way you drive. But the people around you that are, let me tell you who's watching you. First of all, you're watching you. And you got to live with yourself. You know? And when there's something in your heart, when you go somewhere you don't belong and you say, I don't belong here, you know who you are. You know who you are, but you're not the only one watching you. The angels in heaven are watching you. Do you know, if you want to go over to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, you're going to find out that your relatives that have already died are watching you. What are you talking about? It talks about the witnesses in heaven that are cheering you on. Cheering you on. Great-grandparents you never knew that you had. Jesus is cheering you on in heaven. He's the intercessor whoever lives to make He's thinking about you in heaven. Prayers are going up for you in heaven by Jesus. What? Are you kidding me? That's all. So heaven is watching you. God's sitting there going, have you considered my servant Job? This guy's amazing. God knows who you are. Your children are watching you. And when our behavior is incorrect, be quick to correct that. Be quick to say you're sorry. Be quick to tell people that was not a good witness. I've seen my father humble himself and tell people, I'm sorry for the way that I acted. And I've had to do it a few times just when anger came out of me and I had to say, wow, I was not representative of Christ today. But I don't want to be that way. I want to be someone that God is pleased with. And I want to live my life pleasing God. So you know what? There's no reason to make bad decisions. You know, the temptations of the world are stupid temptations. They really are. The things that the devil has people fall for, there isn't anyone that's ever died and said, I don't regret any of that cocaine. I'm just so glad. There's no one that embraces and says, I had the best life ever, unless they lived for God. And the wife saying it to the husband. She said, you are at your best when you serve God. And that's true of every one of us. You are always at your best when you serve God. Love you guys so much. I feel there's a move of the Holy Spirit in this place. Walk with God. Be like Daniel. Walk with God. This isn't religion. This is relationship. This isn't theory. This is real. This is you talking to God. Him hearing you. Amen.
Well, I'm going to close my part out with sharing how, real quickly, how our decisions affect the people around us. I've been wanting my house decorated for a while, like Christmas decorations. And yesterday morning, I woke, and my son-in-law and my daughter are amazing, and my grandkids, Caleb and Grace, are amazing. And I woke up yesterday morning to the sound of something going on outside the house, and it was Dan and them putting up the lights for me. They should be part of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. But I thought about that when I seen that verse on the screen up there that says Daniel made a choice to honor God and also to not defile himself. That could easily be said of my Daniel, my son-in-law, and he made a right choice. But I want to tell you, as I began to think about that and meditate about that choices yesterday and how Dan made right choices, and Dave and I, we've made a right choice to stay married, and Julie and Dave made a choice to stay married. I couldn't help but thinking of Julie and Dave, and we're going to end by Pastor Ken's going to play some worship, and we're going to worship. We're going to choose today to worship. And I started thinking about Dave and Julie, how they chose so many things in life. They chose to bring their sons to this church. They chose to serve God themselves. They chose to make their children come to church. They chose to have their children play an instrument. I know that Tony Pacina knows that because he taught the boys. Julie and Dave's boys. And I started thanking God for Dave and Julie. Just thanking them. Because what if they had made a choice not to love God, not to really serve God? That would have affected my life so adversely. Things would not have gone well had they made a choice. They would have robbed me of a blessing. And so for you to make choices, it does affect your children and your grandchildren. And for us to bring our children to church, and then for Sandra and Dave to find one another and God to put them together and for them to be married. The same could be true of Tony and Lesvia Piscina and so many others that did the right things. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from him, from it. Your children may not want to come to church. They may not like to. It does not matter. It doesn't matter because when they're our age, they're going to be thanking God for you that you made the right choice, that you forced them. Although they hate it now, it doesn't matter. They'll see it from in the perspective of a 30, 40-year-old. To bring your children to this altar and dedicate them to the Lord is everything. But there's something even greater. It's for them to see you bring yourself to the altar here, to worship God. That's something they will never forget, no matter how far they go. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. Let's stand and worship God. And let's determine in our heart that we're going to make our choices with eternity in mind and in the fear of God. He's given us this revelation to make the right decisions. I thank God that my mom and dad made the right choices. I thank God that they didn't buy houses and lands and boats, but they built a church. They built a church here for us to worship Him. Father God, we just thank You and praise You, and we're going to worship You right now as Pastor Ken plays, and take this opportunity to recommit today. I may have made bad decisions yesterday, but that's not today. Today I've decided I'm going to serve the Lord God with all of my heart, mind, and soul. Father God, I'm going to make the right decisions that will bless my life, and then that the blessings in my life can flow through to other people. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, we thank You. Worship Jesus.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.